We're about to celebrate the birth of Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? The scriptures have Pilate saying, "Behold the man." So when we behold him, who do we see? Now, bad theology leads to bad practices, bad morality, bad thinking. Our theology regarding Jesus Christ is that he, being the God-man, having all of the prerogatives of the Father, chose to become a man so that he would be God and man. And everything he did as a man was freely giving himself over to the will of God. He was not a victim. In some theology, Christ is a victim. Our Christ is not a victim, not remotely. Our Christ said that he could lay down his life at any time and take it up again. He's not a victim. He is victorious. And so this is the Christ that we worship, not a Christ who is a victim. We must be like that Christ that we worship. We must be aggressive, even violent, because the scriptures say the kingdom of heaven is being taken by violence. Now, this violence is when we are courageous enough to live according to our convictions and to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. And this violence must separate us from the way of the world. It's not violence with a club or with a sword or with a gun. It's violence where we make a choice and stand by it no matter what happens. That's the taking up of the cross. And if we believe in this Christ, a Christ that is not a victim, but did everything of his own will, we must also not be victims, but do everything with our will given over to God freely. And if we do this, then we live victoriously. And I will give you an example. I believe this with all of my heart. I've experienced it now. I can't count the number of times. A couple thousand, maybe several thousand liturgies. And as a priest, that is. And I can tell you that my role in the liturgy is not more important than your role. Of course, there must be a priest in order for there to be liturgy. But that aside, my prayer is not more important than your prayer. And it's not required more than your prayer is required. We are to assemble together in the liturgy to do violence to the way of the world, to pray and to be in the presence of God, all of us. And each one of us is equally important. There are no insignificant people. In the West, there developed an idea of professional clergy, and the people had the professional clergy do the things for them. And the professional clergy could even, in the case of the heretical West, give indulgences, and people could get out of purgatory, and an invention in itself, but get out of purgatory without labor. There is labor in the world, and there is labor in the Christian life, and there is violence in the Christian life, and there must be aggressiveness in the Christian life. Not aggressiveness against people, not the world's aggressiveness, but the aggressiveness where we dare to live according to the truth. And as a parish, the thing that we're missing, and we're missing it less than other parishes, so I'm not complaining, but it is true that we're missing it. We should have everyone that comes to the church come to be, have their loins girded, and to be in the presence of God and to pray together as an assembly. Now, we don't see this. Some come like this, but others come 10 minutes into the liturgy, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes just to light a candle. That's not doing violence. That's not living life aggressively as our Lord Jesus Christ did and taught us to live. We are to come to the assembly to pray with one another as a body. Now, the priest is doing certain prayers and calling down the Holy Spirit. In fact, telling God to bring down the Holy Spirit. I am told to tell God. And God says he will obey me because I have been ordained for that purpose, but for no other reason, not because of any personal holiness or strength of my prayer. God chooses to obey his priests in that circumstance. But other than that prayer, we are united completely, because you should be praying for others and for yourself with aggressiveness during the liturgy. I was taught this, or maybe I just sort of knew it, I don't know how it happened, from the very beginning when I was baptized. And I considered, even though I knew that I was a great sinner and my prayer was weak, that my presence in the assembly, whether it be the liturgy, whether it be Vespers or Matins, or whether it be a Maleben or a Panahida or a baptism, that my presence was required, not by any outside force, but by an inner force, by that inner compulsion that I've talked to you about this parable that I've talked about recently, about the wedding feast, where the Lord says, go out into the lanes and the streets outside of the city and the hedges and compel them to come in. That compelling must be from your heart, and your heart must compel you to pray. Otherwise, you cannot fully call yourself a Christian. This is a very important thing. And you children, hopefully you're hearing me and not just kind of zoning out a little bit. But I say this often enough that maybe out of the 189 times I say it this year, you'll hear one of them. I mean this. I'm not making a joke. I'm not being satirical. We don't listen well. None of us do. So things have to be repeated. This is very, very important. Your purpose is to have the Spirit of God abiding in you. And when you come to the temple, you come to a place where God abides and where God visits his people often more intimately than any other time. He can visit his people anywhere, and he can visit in people individually anywhere. And when people have developed a great holiness, God is continually with them and he feels them. Or they feel him, is what I meant to say. But in the temple, when we are celebrating the liturgy and all of the services like today, this is a precursor to the liturgy. So in my mind, it's part of the liturgy. We pray, we must pray with this expectation and with this desire and with this violence and aggressiveness. And the reason we do that is because our Lord Jesus Christ is those things. He is not passive. He is not a victim. He was not a sacrifice because his Father required a death to appease his anger, all that Anselmian stuff. Our Lord Jesus Christ chose when to die and exactly how to die, and he renewed us on the cross and in the resurrection and in the ascension and in the sending of the Holy Spirit. It was his choice, and he as a man chose to completely, flagrantly follow God in everything. And that is our model. So we must be flagrant in following God. We must be audacious in following God. We must come to the temple knowing that we are a crucial part of the assembly. Not because we're good, not because we pray so well, not because of anything special in and of ourselves, but because we are part of the assembly. And if we had that happening with everyone who comes to our services, then there would be fire coming out of the cupola. And there would be people flocking to our temple, because there are people who are starving for grace that we pass by every day, and that are in this neighborhood and in this city and in all the surrounding cities. But our grace, although it is present, is not always readily apparent because of our sins. And it's good if we have one or two or ten praying with desire and with aggression and with their heart. Whether it be a maleben or whether it be a liturgy, doesn't matter. But it would be even better if when we have an assembly of 70 people, all those people are completely focused on one thing, to be in the presence of God, to bring down God's grace upon themselves and those around them and their loved ones and those who are not there for good or bad reasons. This is our calling. This is very, very important. And this comes out of who Jesus Christ is. The passiveness that is part of Western expression of Christianity is not an accident, because they believe in a passive Christ who is a victim. Our Christ was not and is not passive, and he was not and is not a victim. He chose everything freely for our sake because of love. And we must also do this. We are not victims. We are not passive. We must follow the way of our Lord. And if that involves suffering, so be it. If that involves calumny, so be it. But not being a victim. Because our God is not a victim. Our God is powerful. He chose to do exactly what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it for our salvation. And so we must express, even if it's in a small, puny little way, this power that he showed us on the earth. And we express this power primarily in a community by praying with fervor together, by being dialed in, by coming to the church with purpose and with direction. And if we did that more, then our community would be like fire that people would see. But it's not like fire. The fire is here, but it's not readily visible because of our sins. As a Christian, if you believe something and you don't act on it, it doesn't matter if you believe it. Doesn't matter at all. If you believe in a Christ who freely chose to follow his Father and did everything with purpose and with courage and with conviction, but you don't do the same things, it doesn't matter that you believe in that Christ. So I will only say one more thing. As your pastor, my great desire for you is that you live life in your heart. And living life in your heart means trying to be like Jesus Christ. And it takes effort. It takes attention. It takes aggressiveness. So when you come to liturgy tomorrow, come aggressively. Come on time or before time, and be ready to pray not only the sung parts of the liturgy, but also in between times with your heart, begging the Lord to visit you and to visit everyone else. And if we do that, I don't know what the threshold would be. 2 more, 3 more, 10 more that would pray in this way in our church. Our church would be fire. May this be. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and under the ages of ages.